Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, have we been hoodwinked? May I just switch that around? So we have been hoodwinked. The word hoodwinked simply means lied to, deceived, the wool pulled over our eyes. And that's exactly what we've had taking place. And as a result of that, we've shut down America's industry and trade and business. We have before us, and I believe they projected something like 3.5 million unemployed just in the past 2 weeks as a result of this. And there'll probably be more in the reporting next week. But we're on the approaching the 15th day. Next Monday will be the 15th day that President Trump said, let's lock everything down for 15 days and see what happens. He and his staff, Vice President Pence and his coronavirus task force, they've discovered, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that in a moment, discovered that the basic data, it's called data set, D-A-T-A and then S-E-T, the data set, the basic data set, and the points it's put in. You know, you've heard the old term, garbage in, garbage out. You put the garbage in a computer, you get garbage out. If you start out with the wrong presuppositional numbers, then when you start projecting forward, you get garbage as far as the numbers are concerned. And whatever you put the data set in, you're going to then make a determination on the numbers projected for the future of what takes place. We're going to get to that in a moment because it's very, very serious. And that's exactly what we've seen take place. And as a result of that, I say we've been hoodwinked. The wool's been pulled over our eyes. And as a result of this being hoodwinked as a nation and the shutdown of America, we're seeing tectonic changes in education for the future. We're seeing major changes from the standpoint of our society in America. Politically, we're watching the setting forth of the fundamental shadow government being stood up. Listen, you've heard me say many times down through the years on this very broadcast that if we've got a shadow government, in order to stand up the shadow government, you've got to crush the present governmental structure. You've got to destroy the fundamental foundation of the economic system to stand up a society that is a socialist, Marxist governmental system. And that's what we see taking place, ladies and gentlemen, in America today. But we're on the subject of the fourth point, that being the fundamental changes to our churches as a result of this shutdown. And the government said, shut everything down. And the Virginia governor, of all the governors, has been more stringent, more strident, and more poignant and pointed in his attack on the church than any of the governors across America. He says in this, and let me read a portion of this statement once again. He talks about essential businesses needs to remain open. Includes grocery stores, pharmacies, banks, medical supply stores, gas stations, pet stores, laundromats, and liquor stores. And may I add to that, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Florida, we have Best Bets, the gambling houses. They're remaining open. You have the abortion clinics still remaining open. And yet hospitals are not supposed to do elective surgeries in this panic scenario because of the utilization of the very valuable and highly sought after ventilators and other surgical equipment that needs to be expressed and used across America. But yet the murder by way of abortion is still taking place in the state of Florida and in most other states with the exception of Ohio. Ohio, the governor has said no to any abortions taking place during this period of time. Here's Ralph Northam, the Virginia governor, that says that if a church opens, if a church has a services with more than 10 people, that you can be fined up to $2,500 and a year in jail. And yet our First Amendment says Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people, listen, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a total violation. I've said it this whole time. It is a total violation of our constitutional rights, our amendment, First Amendment in particular, that we have the freedom of religion and the freedom of worship. And yet that's been contravened, that's been banned, that's been absolutely outlawed. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, if there is a so-called panic, and this is a bad virus, I understand that. If it is so horrible and there's such a need that churches must shut down, I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, there ought to be a process where there needs to be a hearing that gives someone the right to present the case for the churches and for a a court hearing, a federal court hearing, for a judicial system to decide if it is warranted that we contravene, that we undermine, that we destroy the First Amendment right. In fact, in Hebrews 10:25 ought to be the marching orders for the Christian today. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some do, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. We're in the last of the last days, and of all places, of all things, of all organizations, the church ought to continue to have the freedom to gather together to worship and to pray and to intercede before God, asking Him to heal our nation and to forgive us of our sin as a national people. Yes, we are watching the precedents being set. We're watching the benchmark being set for the overriding purpose of government. Government hates churches to begin with. The governmental system hates that because, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the First and Second Amendment are the two major amendments that we have, the two major facts of our freedom, the right to worship and the right to keep and bear arms, that any socialist, dictator, communist nation will eradicate at the very outset of that type of governance going into place. And that is exactly what we see setting the precedents for today. It was the governor of Ohio that said, let me quote what he said. He said, to tell churches to close would be an unconstitutional act. Look it up, Google it. That's the statement from the governor of Ohio. To tell churches to close would be an unconstitutional act. Do you realize across America today, the state of Ohio is the only state that says, churches, you can still worship. But the governor went on to say, I would expect the pastors of the churches to be careful to be able to separate people enough or to have a limitation enough that's self-imposed so that it protects the life and the health of the parishioners or the church members. I'm in agreement with that. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with a church, individual pastor, individual congregations deciding we're going to worship or we're not? We're going to have 50 in this room, 25 in this room, 10 in this room. Or we're going to have services at 10 o'clock. We'll have another service at 11 o'clock, another service at 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock or whatever, so that it abides by and helps the number, but not where the church is forced by government, the hard hand, the heavy hand of government, intervening and destroying our constitutional right in the First Amendment, where it says that the government cannot do anything, my vernacular, cannot make any laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything I'm passionate about, it's that fact. And we're watching a tectonic change in America today as a result of this false, phony, fake data that's made the decision for our politicians to lock down all of America. We're seeing a tectonic change in education going forward, a tectonic change in society and the way we relate to each other going forward, a tectonic change in our political system going from the Constitutional Republic to the setting up the foreshadowing of what will ultimately be a socialist dictator nation in America, lest we as Christians and as conservatives wake up, sit up, stand up, speak up, be visible, be vigilant, and be vocal with what we need to do as a people. So just how did we get to where we are? Just how did we come to this point of a national shutdown? What kind of evidence was used to force our cities to shut down? What kind of decision, what kind of data was used to cause the military to come in our nation's cities, dressed out in the National Guard in the full military regalia to control the people? What brought us to that point? What caused this to take place? Is it an act of sedition that's undermining our governance system? Is it an act that is politically motivated? Is it an act that just simply took place by error or by irresponsibility in the calculations and the determination of what would take place? We're told the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And if you say that enough, the sky is going to fall. But ladies and gentlemen, what kind of data do we use to determine that the sky is falling? Where did it come from? Harvard University just had an article that says this. Harvard study finds that the COVID-19 fatality rate is far lower than the World Health Organization suggests. The article states, and it's a five-page article, I'll read just three paragraphs. A glimpse of hope in the midst of pandemic that has ground the world to a halt. A new study from Harvard University and the University of Hong Kong finds the COVID-19 might have a much lower fatality rate than was initially suggested by the World Health Organization. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, WHO, the World Health Organization, is a puppet, is a tool for China. China pays 90% of the overhead for the World Health Organization, and whatever China says, the World Health Organization puts out that data, puts out that information, regardless of how fraudulent it might be. World Health Organization is a puppet for the nation of China. But the article says, according to a study published in the Nature magazine, Medicine, last week, only 1.4% of the people who contracted the novel coronavirus is in the epicenter of the disease, Wuhan, that is in Wuhan, China, died. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it was just 4 weeks ago that the World Health Organization was saying that 4.87% of those that contracted the disease in Wuhan, China, died. And now the reality is the trickle down, the analysis of the facts show that it was less than 1.4%. However, the fatality rates presented by the study was dramatically lower than the World Health Organization's prediction of 4.4 or higher percent of the death rate. A key public health priority during the emergence of the novel pathogen is estimating clinical severity, which requires properly adjusting for these cases and their rates and the delay between symptoms, onset, and ultimate death, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's pretty complicated five-page determining article with the percentage of the data, et cetera, but the simple point is we've been sold a bill of goods. We've had the wool pulled over our eyes. We've been hoodwinked into thinking that somehow, some way, everybody's going to die. The sky's falling, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, when in fact we probably will not come up to the latest statisticians tell us that in America there may be 20,000 to die ultimately from this pathogen. When the swine flu, we had 17,000. This year so far with the general flu, we've had 31,000. Last year we had between 45 and 50,000 to die. On a global basis with the regular flu, about 550,000 died last year. And yet we're supposed to believe the sky's falling, the sky's falling. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, have we been hoodwinked in America? I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
We're seeing Rahm Emanuel's words play out today. Rahm Emanuel, you know, the famous, he worked for Obama, then he went on to become mayor of Chicago, I guess, and some called him Rahm Deadfish Emanuel. He kind of popularized the notion, never let a good crisis go to waste. And in the midst of this crisis, you see a lot of shenanigans taking place. You'll see that the $2 trillion bill that will probably make the president's desk this afternoon, that $2 trillion, did I say trillion or billion? I'll tell you what, we start mingling those words. I mean, a trillion is a thousand million. I mean, a thousand billion is 1 trillion. Most people can't wrap their mind around a million, much less a billion, much less a trillion, but all sorts of shenanigans taking place, all sorts of pork barrel spending shoved into that. Now, 6 months from now, they will look back on this, and all of the left and some of the right will blame Trump. They'll say this is the highest budget deficit in all of history. But why is it that way? Well, the people that control the spending, you know, the spending bills begin in the House. Of course, this seems to have made a very interesting series of turns. Nonetheless, those 435 members pretty well call the shots, particularly Nancy Pelosi. I think she just shoved in an extra $25 million for salaries and staff for Congress, which is very interesting. I don't know how that fits within COVID-19 emergency funding. Nonetheless, I think we're seeing mass experimentation and a potential shift in what some would call the Overton window, what would be considered politically acceptable or socially acceptable. And you hit it right on the, you hit the nail right on the head with the shift. You know, if it is acceptable right now for folks like Governor Northam to say, we'll put you in jail if you have more than 10 members associate together in church, if that is acceptable now, When will it not be acceptable? What right. will the next emergency be? What will the next emergency be that they say close the doors? You know, we're going to have to do this over here and leave all these exceptions in place for the liberal leftist evil agenda out there. But we're going to shut down conservatives. We're going to shut down Christians. And again, it seems to be a shift in what is acceptable, or a shift in what we consider the Overton window.
It sets the standard. And Greg, here's an article that says scientists behind the U.S. and the U.K. lockdowns drastically lower the death estimate. The study by Imperial College of London, published March 16th, estimated, listen, this is what I'm talking about with the data set that we've been operating under in America and the politicians making the determination on what to be done. March the 16th, they estimated that 2.2 million Americans and 500,000 Britons would die from the coronavirus. 2.2 million. And so based on that data set, all these decisions were made, rapid, frantic, panic decisions were made. And it goes on to talk about now Neil Ferguson has testified to a parliamentary committee that the UK deaths total likely would exceed 20,000 and not much lower than that. And it goes on to talk about it being perhaps that number or less for America. And yet we have hair on fire. Shut down churches and contravene the First and Second Amendment rights. Some mayors have said that ammo and weapons stores must close. They cannot even transport weapons. That happened in Champaign, Illinois. That happens over in New Orleans, Louisiana. And we've watched our Constitution being absolutely eviscerated by just simply fiat. And when we go into the future, as you said, this sets the standard. What future crisis can then be ginned up, and then all of a sudden you've accepted it before. You've closed the doors of the churches before. You've allowed us to contravene and to ban your Second Amendment rights. We're going to do that again, and you must not say anything because you've accepted it. It sets the standard, doesn't it, Greg?
It sure does, I think, and you keep alluding to it and touching on the particular points like the swine flu, the H1N1 virus, this, all these different things that are medically related, that are pandemic type disorders and diseases, that are apples and apples comparisons, and that's what we ought to be doing. However, for analysis purposes, however, you have folks like Joe Scarborough that will go online, and yesterday or the day before, I heard him talk about the data set and the projections on deaths that could exceed a million is what he said. And it was amazing because he launched right into an apples and oranges comparison. He said, you know, if we lose a million people, that'll be more people that have been lost in every war that the United States has engaged in since the American Revolution. And you go, hold on a second. Isn't that an apples and oranges? Those don't correlate with one another. They don't fit. However, when we compare apples and apples, diseases and disorders that take lives, fatal disorders, then all of a sudden this comes into a totally different view in that, yes, at the end of the day, I think we'll have 20 or 30,000 folks that die this year from this flu. It's horrible within the United States. It's horrible. You know, we don't like to see any loss of life, but the dishonesty on the left doesn't consider the fact, you know, if they want to look at loss of life and do some comparisons, why aren't we looking at the million to million and a half babies a year killed in this country, the 64, I guess, million that we've slaughtered in this country via abortion? You know, if we're going to – that's an – by the way, that's an apples and oranges comparison. But when we look at fatalities and we look at, you know, loss of life, then, you know, goodness, why not bring it in? You know, why not do those comparisons? I'd love to have somebody challenge Joe Scarborough to those kind of numbers, those kind of facts, and point out his dishonesty and the fact that it wasn't the hair on fire everybody concerned during the Obama administration with the H1N1 flu. Nobody, H1N1 virus. People did not go into full-blown panic mode. But this has been a contrived panic. You know, the Russia, Russia, Russia conspiracy theory did not work. The Mueller investigation did not work. The creepy porn lawyer did not work. The Russia, Russia, Russia second time hasn't worked. The Ukraine scam didn't work. One thing after another, this thing is something they intend to ride all the way up to the election, guaranteed. If on November 3rd, I think that's when the election is this year, yeah. If on the day of the election, all of a sudden they get what they want and Trump is gone, all of a sudden the emergency will be over with. There's no need for fear, no need for panic. Understand, the deep state is still at work. You still have the fact, looking back in time, 2016, 97% of political contributions coming out of the Department of State were political contributions to Hillary Clinton. 99%, I'm sorry, that was Department of Justice. Department of State was 99%. I mean, it's crazy. The deep state is still completely controlled or predominantly controlled by leftists. These folks that are coming out, you know, coming up through the Department of Health, coming up through World Health Organization, these folks don't like Donald Trump. You know, and I hate for it to all point back to Donald Trump. I hate for it to all be political, but we have to acknowledge the truth. And the reality is, like Rahm Emanuel said, don't let a good crisis go to waste. You know, well, that's what they're doing today. They saw a crisis.
Yes. Here's something that illustrates exactly what you're saying. The title of this article says, Coronavirus Mapping Sites, M-A-P-P-I-N-G, Mapping Sites Predictions Have Fallen Short, dated March 25th. A major source of information upon which all government leaders have relied upon to urge or to order the canceling of public events, shutdowns of business, and sheltering in place has proven to be inaccurate. And then it goes on to talk about the fact that it had bogus data set points. And the thing is, they group had set up an on-site online website for all official political leaders to go to get the updated data as to what's taking place. This website that all of the politicians go to for the updated data on the coronavirus and the deaths and the hospitalizations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let me just read this to our public, then I want you to comment on it, Greg. Founders of the site include Democratic Representative Jonathan Kress Tompkins and three Silicon Valley tech workers and Democrat activists Zachary Rosen, Max Henderson, and Igor Hoffman, who are all also donors of the various Democratic campaigns and political organizations since 2016. Henderson and Kaufman donated to the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2016, while Rosen donated to the Democratic National Committee. Recently resigned Democratic Representative Katie Hill and other Democratic candidates. They're the ones set up the website with the wrong data information. If you have a data that projects that up to 2.2 million Americans can die and about 550,000 in Great Britain will die, then it's going to bring about hair on fire, panic, panic, panic. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. And yet all of this data was set up, put in place by Democrats that now the world has been depending on, when I say the world, America in particular, and all of our politicians in relation to that. What do you say to that? Doesn't that answer the question on we have been hoodwinked, and who are the hoodwinkers, if I can use that?
Well, right. Well, the same kind of hoodwinkers that for 50 years have been basically talking about apocalyptic ends based on global warming. All the predictions they've made, I think by 2000 we were supposed to have no ice on our poles. I think by the year 2000, basically New York was supposed to be underwater or something crazy like, it's amazing.
Right.
How many of those predictions have rolled out over the past 30, 40, 50 years, and one after another. Now, when I was a kid, the predictions were kind of the other way. You know, we had a hole in the ozone layer, and the Earth was going to be a big ice ball because all the heat was going to escape, this kind of stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. But those same individuals now are being paid millions of dollars to come up with graphs and charts and predictions related to this coronavirus. And the most extreme predictions, those are the ones that make the news. Those are the ones that the mainstream media or the lamestream media picks up on MSNBC and CNN. And they must have the extreme because guess what? Fear is a manipulator. Fear is a driver. The number one motivator is fear in most people's lives.
Most people be willing to give up our constitutional rights for what they perceive to be security. Greg, here's an article. Dr. Deborah Brix, B-I-R-X, steers away from. That's the female physician that stands on the platform with Dr. Fauci and others with President Trump and Vice President Pence, etc. Dr. Deborah Brix on Thursday provided encouraging coronavirus numbers suggesting that some of the predictive models were totally incorrect. there's no model right now, no reality on the ground where we can see that 60 to 70% of Americans are going to get infected, she says. Without specifically naming the Imperial College, BRICS referred to the models that predicted there could be 500,000 coronavirus deaths in the UK and 2.2 million deaths in the United States. Those numbers were the data points that were set up by this group of leftist, socialist, Marxist Democrats that put it into a website along with some Silicon Valley technology gurus that now has been depended upon for all of these weeks that we have gone through absolute horror in America. But finally, here's Dr. Deborah Brex that says those numbers are wrong. But as a result of that, Greg, hospitals consider do not resuscitate orders for all coronavirus patients. Yes, you heard me right. One of the biggest problems brought by the Chinese coronavirus pandemic, which already has killed hundreds of infected in America, is the potential for medical facilities to be overwhelmed. And it goes on to talk about that they are under such pressure now that there are hospitals in America that's making the determination that for a coronavirus patient that they will not resuscitate or attempt to do so. And it's allowing people like the mayor in Los Angeles to say, if you get out of your house, we're going to shut your power off and your water off. Greg, we've got about a minute and a half left on this broadcast. Wrap up all that you and I have talked about and what the people need to understand, that we have had the wool pulled over our eyes. We have been hoodwinked. But how should we respond? What should we do?
Don't be afraid. That's exactly what Satan would have, and that's exactly what the left would have. They would like to manipulate via fear. You know, Satan's used that tool for a very, very long time. These number of cases that we see stepping up, well, we started testing a lot more in the United States. Yes. Now, I fully expect the number of cases. Well, look at the number of tests that came back negative, and then look at those that have already gone home from the hospital. Look, literally, you have tons and tons of folks walking around with this right now that they don't know it. You know why? Because the symptoms are so little. Yes, it's deadly. Yes, it can kill folks. But the notion that the entire world will be stood on end because of this virus, that's a fear. That's a contrived fear. That's not a real fear. You know, look at the mortality stats of disease after disease, and when looked at in comparison, apples and apples, I think we come to something where we go, this is something to be you know, acknowledged, to recognize, and to take safety precautions, but yes, this is not something that should send us into a panic, into fear.
Absolutely.
Fear is something
We need to simply stand up and faith God and go back to church, start back worshiping, and say, God, we're going to honor you by faith. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this broadcast today. Join us once again as we face the issues.
Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.